Matthew 3:16, and we'll get a little context of what we'll be today in the book of John. But Matthew 3:16, we started last week talking about John the Baptist, and he was a plain man. Of course, he ate wild locust and honey. He was clothed in camel's hair, and he had a plain message, and really the message was central. It was Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. And so in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and light lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus, when He went into the ministry, His earthly ministry, He sought out John the Baptist to get baptized, not John the Presbyterian or John the Methodist or John the Lutheran or whatever. But He went 60 miles on foot to get a Baptist baptism because He wanted to identify with John's doctrine, which is Jesus' doctrine. And that is, repent and get saved. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is near. And so that was His message. Now over in Matthew chapter 11, we see a little more context of where we'll be today. In Matthew chapter 11, let's see what Jesus thought about John the Baptist. Verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet?" This is what Jesus said, "Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send My messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." So we learn here that Jesus called John the Baptist the messenger to prepare the way of the Lord, is what he preached. Verse 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force." So you see here what Jesus thought of John the Baptist. He was the greatest prophet born of woman. Now my message, it deals with the Gospel of John. We're talking about John the Revelator, who God used to write the Gospel of John, and also to write the book of Revelation, and also the disciple of John, the one who loved Jesus and leaned on His breast, he was able to pin down. Well, God gave the words, but he pinned them down, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But the disciple John also pinned down 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. But my message today is not primarily about the disciple of John or this time when John the Baptist pointed his finger and pointed to the people and said, "There's only one Savior, amen, and it's not me." The people wanted to call him Elijah, or it speaks of Elias, but John the Baptist was not the Savior. He was the forerunner, the one that pointed to the Savior. And so my message is not so much about them, but his message about the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So if you will, stand and go to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And if you will, honor the Lord if you're able, and go to chapter 1, and we'll, with the Lord's help, try to deal with verses 29 through 34. John 1, 29 through 34. If I had just one nail to nail down today in all of our hearts, it would be that Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Quit looking for other ways.
Right.
There's only one way. So hopefully that will be nailed down. I'm thankful for the nails that Jesus took for us. They pierced His hands and His feet. Because He loved you so much, He wanted to take your sin and my sin and pay for it. That you might not have to go to hell. That you might not have to take that punishment. But that you can be declared, here it is. This is a beautiful word in the Scripture. Justified. We're justified by faith. Not on anything, not by our works. But we're justified by the Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 29. The next day, talking about after that baptism we just read about, where the Spirit of God descended like a dove. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, let's read it out loud together. Ready? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man that is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So we're going to try to, with the Lord's help, give you some things in these verses. Let's pray. Pray for me and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we know, Lord, that Your Word is holy and Your Word is pure. And Lord, there's power in the Word of God, and I'm thankful that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But Lord, I can just be Your mouthpiece, Your voice for a little while this morning, and point people to the greatest gift, Lord, that they will ever receive, and that is if they'll recognize You, Jesus, for who You are, and trust You, and receive You, Lord, and be saved. I cannot speak to hearts, Lord, and I just pray that You would give me that boldness and that utterance, and Lord, even Your unction, Lord. May people see that it's not what Greg Hardesty is saying here, but Lord, it's what Your Bible says. It's what Your Word is. And Lord, they'll trust You, Lord, today. If there's one lost, I pray for that one to get it settled in their heart where they walk out these doors and they know for sure they're going to heaven. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And I want to be careful right now to give You the thanks and the glory for everything You'll do today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being in church. Hey, you grow if you come to church, right? You get fed a little bit, and you'll grow as a Christian. He does say in Hebrews 10:24-25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, especially as we see the day approaching. And you know, in these troubling days, in these troubling times, we need to hear more about Jesus. We need an anchor, amen, in these days. And I like the song, Brother Larry, that stay on Jehovah. Keep Jehovah, keep Jesus in the forefront of your life. I mean, He should have the preeminence in our life. He should be first place. And that's what He said in Matthew. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And you know, it seems like, and I really try to be sensitive to the time, because some of you drive a long way. I know that some of you drive 30 minutes. We even have a family driving an hour to be here and faithful. And so it's hard to get here, but I try to let you out within an hour. So about 11, you know, 5 to 11, I'm going to be shutting down this. But what I have found is if you honor God on His day, He will make it up to you. He'll make that time up and you'll be better off. And so I'm thankful. I'm even thankful for our service times. We have a little earlier start. You can get out. And, you know, I'm an early bird, so I like to start early anyway. But in verse 29, let's look at it, church. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's good news, isn't it? Because there's nobody else that can take your sin away. And if you die in your sin, you'll go straight to hell. And you'll have all the sin, all the misery, and all the problems that you carry in this world. You'll take it right down into that place of separation, separated from God, separated from loved ones who are in heaven. And so you need to make a decision. It's time to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. How hard is it here to deal with all of the cares of the world? And a lot of times people try to carry their own load and carry their own burden. And can I tell you will fail miserably, because Jesus, He's meant to carry that load. We can't carry it, amen. He's able to help us. But so down here on this earth, we're just passing through. And so we're on a sojourn. We're on a journey. And it goes a lot better with Jesus in the front. It goes a lot better with Jesus in your life and in your heart and in your way, because without Him, we're miserable. We're dead in trespasses and sin, and we're lost. We're not saved. But you don't have to stay that way. Hey, Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. He says, Jesus, if you trust Jesus, He'll provide all your needs. He'll answer your prayers, amen. And He'll walk with you in this world, in this sojourn. So John just got that straight. He said, look, it's not me. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the answer. There's one preferred above me, and His name is none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And He was pointing to Jesus when He came, and He said, behold. Hey, that word behold is a great word. Hey, you need to fix your eyes. I need to fix my eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So behold today, if you don't get anything else out of this message, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and that's Jesus. He died on that cross. He laid down His life. You say, Pastor, we're only on verse 29. We got a ways to go. I'm watching the clock. Quit watching the clock, okay? I'm pointing at not the clock. I'm pointing to Jesus today, okay? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I used to have a guy, Larry Wagner was his name. And he was a cut up. He had a sense of humor. And he really didn't mean it. He just wanted a joke. He wanted to laugh. And he would come up to me right before the service. He said, Pastor, look here. The Mariners play at 12 o'clock. He was from Washington. He always said that. And I said, well, we'll see what happens. You know, he's the kind of guy that he got really sick and he finally passed away. But his wife gave me this envelope. He said, Larry wants you to read this at his funeral. And I read it right up here. Had his funeral. And the first thing, I didn't read it until then. I didn't know what was going to be in that letter. But he said, first I want to tell the congregation, I want to tell all my family, I told you I was sick. And he died. That was Larry Wagner. He came up to one of the guys in our church. And the guy just got out of prison. And Larry would meet you and he'd shake your hand. He'd say, man, you just look like you just got out of prison. And the man looked at him and said, I actually just did get out of prison. True story. We were mortified, you know. Oh, my goodness. But Jesus is the way. Point to Jesus is what I want to do today. Because He is the Lamb of God. You know, lambs are so precious, aren't they? You see little lambs. And it's true. Some of the animals, they'll fight and kick. You try to kill a buffalo, he may kill you. Cattle, things like that. Big old antelope and deers with horns and such. They can rush you. We went to, where's that place we went to? Yellowstone. And they told all the people that were taking pictures, some of them from other countries, don't get up there close to those buffalo because they can rush you and they can run 35 miles an hour. And they didn't listen. And next thing you know, another one killed by a buffalo. But not lambs. Lambs are gentle. And they're peaceful. And as hard as this is to hear, you can take a little lamb, furry white lamb. And those in Israel's day, back in the Old Testament, they had to take a lamb more than once. And they sacrificed these lambs that would just cover their sins. The priest also went in with the lambs and sacrificed the lambs, sacrificial lambs. And what did the Bible say? They took the blood and sprinkled it on the doorpost. And if the blood of the lamb was applied, then the death angel would pass over. Well, can I tell you, there was one lamb, one time, and he died on an old rugged cross over 2,000 years ago. He laid down his life, that precious lamb. He didn't fight it, just like Isaac, when Abraham laid down his son Isaac by faith. You know, Isaac said, "Dad, here, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, we've got the altar, but where is the lamb?" He was asking his dad, Abraham. And what did Abraham say in Genesis 22? God will provide Himself a lamb. Jesus is God. But that little lamb, what I wanted to get at, Stormy, you can get those little lambs in your arm, you take the knife, the big old razor sharp knife, and they would cut the throat. They would cut the throat of the lamb. And that little lamb would just lick your hand and let you do it. No one took Jesus' life. He laid it down for sinners. And John said, "I'm not that Elijah. I'm not that one. There is one preferred above me. Behold, fix your eyes on that one, that person. It's Jesus Christ and Him only." And He shed His blood on that cross. They nailed Him. They speared Him in the side. They crowned Him with thorns. I'm talking about what you sang about, son. Oh, what a Savior that would go to Calvary and do that for us. In verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." By the way, anybody can get saved if they'll just humble themselves and trust Jesus. Go hold your place here. Put a little bulletin or ribbon or something in your Bible and go to Isaiah. Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. So it's before Jeremiah and Isaiah. You've got Psalms. If you find in the middle, it's kind of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and then Isaiah. I love this chapter. This is probably one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. In Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Talking about Jesus. Hundreds of years before He would die on an old rugged cross. In Isaiah 53. I want you to see this. I want to be patient so everybody can see it in the Bible here. It's okay if you're still finding it. Isaiah 53 says this in verse 3. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Talking about the Savior. "And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken." You know, there's a lot of people that don't believe Jesus is the way and Jesus is real. That's right. They don't believe Him as the Messiah. Amen. The Messiah has already come. He came to die on a cross, to be born of a virgin. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. people don't recognize him, but it's true. Jesus died and was buried and rose again. He came to bear our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, verse 4. Smitten of God and afflicted. They thought he was just a good preacher, a good teacher. He was more than that. He was the Savior, amen. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. You'll not be healed with any other. All we like what? Sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, talking about Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus when he came and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He said, "This is the one that can deal with your sin problem." You know, people are trying to go to psychiatrists and on medications, and they're trying this way and that way, burning up YouTube and reading all about this, try to get victory in their life and try to have a happy life and all of this. Can I tell you, Jesus came for the sin problem, and Jesus is the answer for your sin problem. He's the answer for your eternal destination. Only Jesus can cleanse your heart and set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You shall be free indeed. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God for Jesus. Back over in John, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he." See, this is he. There's none other. It's not this preacher, that pastor, the priest, or it's, hey friends, I say this respect, it's not the Pope. Pastor Hardesty can't take your sins away. You can go and confess your sins in the confessional booth every single week, every single day, and you'll go in a sinner and come out a sinner. There's only one that can take your sin away. And I say this respectfully, and I say this boldly, there's only one that can wash you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again on the inside? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that can make us white as snow on the inside. None other but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so, this is he, verse 29, of whom I said, "After me cometh a which is preferred." Look at that. He repeats that word preferred. He says it quite a bit in the scriptures, preferred, over in verse number 15 of chapter 1. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And Jesus is God. He created everything in this universe. And so he is preferred, no doubt. He was the voice. Look at verse 27, John chapter 1, verse 27. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." John was a humble man, and John knew he couldn't do anything but point people to Jesus. After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Look at verse 31. "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." I don't know how close they were. Some say that they lived, John the Baptist and Jesus lived miles apart, and he didn't realize it. You know, Elizabeth, they were cousins. You know, Elizabeth had a child in her old age, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who, by the way, blessed is she among women, not above women. Not above women. We don't worship Mary. We worship her son, Jesus Christ. Blessed is she among women. And even Mary exalted, the Bible says, the Lord her Savior. She was a blessed woman for sure because she gave birth to Jesus, a supernatural birth, amen? Can I tell you, Jesus is still in the way of doing miracles. Can I tell you that right now? Now, according to His will, for sure. But anytime a person gets saved, that's a miracle right there. Because they are changed and they come out of the darkness and into the light. And, you know, I was saying Wednesday night when I was preaching about Zacchaeus there in the book of Luke, how that Zacchaeus was the changed man. He was a tax collector. And when he got saved, when Jesus came by, guess what? He said, I'll give back everything I've stolen. I'll give half of my goods. God changed his life. Can I tell you, you say, you look at this person or that person and you might think there's no hope for that person. They're pretty rough behind the collar, behind the ears. Can I tell you, not for Jesus. Jesus can straighten them out quick. Jesus will change your life. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. So Jesus was the message and he's preferred, but I don't know how close they were until this time. I'll just take the scripture literally. It said, I knew him not, but that he should, verse 31, be made manifest. And that was his job, to reveal. The word manifest means to bring it to light. Hold your place here and go to Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. The book of Revelation, end times, it talks about all the things that are going on in this world. And by the way, it's lining up quick. But if you look at the book of Revelation, who John had privilege to write down on the Isle of Patmos, in chapter 1 of Revelation, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he went down. He went down and he led captivity captive. Those Old Testament saints were in that compartment of paradise. Hell enlarged itself. And those Old Testament saints, Jesus took them up back up to heaven. And that's another subject. But, you know, Jesus, he also went down there to get some keys. And I want to tell you this, that Jesus holds the keys to death and hell. He holds the keys, amen? And I must hurry. But the key to your life is Jesus Christ. He's the way that he'll unlock those things that you're not sure of. Okay, back over in John and verse 32. And John bear record. I like this. What is a record? It's an authentic copy, an account of facts. It's something that has been imprinted deeply and you can call to mind. An authentic memorial, if you will. A record is something that's recorded in a book. And we have the record right here in the Bible. Amen? And John says, he bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. Verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending. And that was where Jesus, the heavens opened. And remaining on him, the same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now can I tell you this? I'll try to just hit this briefly. But when you get saved, you get baptized into the Holy Ghost. Okay? You don't get saved over and over and over and over again. Some people say you have to speak in tongues, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. No, you just need to trust Jesus, believe on Him, and He'll save you. Amen. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through being born again, trusting in Jesus. Speaking in tongues, oh man, I'm getting sidetracked here. Speaking in tongues was not for confusion. People that they utter this, you know, this, what do you call it? It's just an utterance and things. You don't know what they're saying, okay? You know, Paul said, I'd rather speak one word with understanding than 10,000 words with no understanding. In the Bible, there was a time, the Jews required a sign. There was a time of a miracle, a sign gift, if you will. A miracle sign gift. There were other gifts, temporary sign gifts. And what speaking in a tongue would do, these people would come in from this country and that country and that country and this country, and they preach the gospel, and they would hear it, here it is, in their known language. The tongues was interpreted known language, not gibberish, not all of this stuff that comes from the devil. Amen. You can't understand that. But God opened up that for people to get saved, that sign, if you will. But when you get truly saved, how many of you know for sure you're saved? Raise your hand if you know for sure. Okay, when you got saved, you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, there are many fillings. You get filled with the Spirit, but you only get baptized one time in the Holy Ghost, and you get saved one time. We talked about that. You can't lose your salvation. When you're born physically, you came from your mother one time. And when you're born spiritually, it's one time. Jesus paid it all. He died on the cross once and for all. And you don't have to get saved over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Now, it does have to be sincere when you get saved. You have to recognize that you're a sinner. How many of you know you're a sinner? And you need to repent and you need to turn from your way and say, Jesus, I want to be saved. I'm asking you to forgive me and I want to go to heaven when I die, and I know you're the only one that can take me there. That's true salvation there. Okay, we're not going to have time. But this record, verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Verse 36 says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Let's go to one more place and we'll have the invitation. Go, come on to the piano, Laura. 1 John. Go over all the way toward the back of the book. Toward the back of the book. 1 John. Same person writing down what he wrote in the Gospel of John. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. If you're in John, 1 John, I'll take you over here to chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, verse 1, with our eyes, see, he bore record, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifest, it was revealed, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Go over to chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. And I want to say this. If you want that joy, you need to look to the Lamb. Behold, look to the Lamb and be saved. That's what he tells us in Isaiah 45. Look unto him. Not 50 ways. Not 100 other ways. Church won't save you. Baptism won't save you. I need an amen right here. None of our works can save us. Amen. Look to the Lamb. Chapter 5 of 1 John. Look with me in verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There is a Trinity, amen. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these agree in one. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God, watch this, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath what? And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can have that life. And Jesus wants you to be saved. You say, how do I do that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand together.